gentlemen, good day and welcome to the investors' call for Cigniti Technologies Limited to discuss the Q3 and 9 months FY24 results. Today we have with us from the management Mr. Srikanth Chikkilam, Executive Director and Chief Executive Officer of Cigniti Technologies Limited, Mr. Krishnan Venkatachari, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Vinay Rawat, Chief Revenue Officer, Mr. Raghuram Kovidi, Chief Delivery Officer, Mr. Sairam Prabhuvedam, Chief Marketing Officer, and Mr. Veera Reddy, Global Head of HR. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Omkar Jalgaonkar from AdFactors PR. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. Before the call, we would like to point out that certain statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. The investor call may contain forward-looking statements based on currently held beliefs and assumption of the management of the company, which are expressed in good faith and in their opinion reasonable. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual result, financial condition, performance, and achievements of the company or industry results to differ materially from the results, financial condition, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. The risks and uncertainties relating to these statements include, but are not limited to, risks and risk of expansion plans, benefits from fluctuation in our earnings, our ability to manage growth and implement strategies, competition in our business, including those factors which may affect our cost advantage, wage increases in India, our ability to attract and retain highly skilled professionals, and our ability to win new contracts, changes in technology, availability of financing, our ability to successfully complete and integrate our expansion plan, political instability, and general economic conditions affecting our industry. Unless otherwise indicated, the information contained herein is preliminary indicative and is based on management information, current plans, and estimates. I now hand over the conference over to Mr. Srikanth Chikkilam for the opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Omkar. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we discuss the company's performance for the third quarter. We are pleased to announce that our consolidated revenues from operations for Q3 FY24 stood at 468 crores, marking a substantial growth of about 9.4% compared to the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Comparing to the previous quarter, we have grown by about 3.6%. Our EBITDA margin stood at 13.8%, with the EBITDA standing at 64.5 crores. During this quarter, we are delighted to announce that we have acquired about 6 new logos, further expanding our client base and demonstrating the attractiveness of our offerings in the market. Our pipeline remains strong, although the sales cycle continues to be on the slightly on the dragging side. We've had a slight dent in terms of our revenues in a couple of logos due to insourcing from the client and also one of the customers getting acquired. Although this change because of the acquisition has so far had no impact on the revenues, we are continuing to monitor and being cautious about the impact on the pipeline. Having said this, we have made investments into ensuring the pipeline remains strong. We have we are quite optimistic that we have the possibility of signing some marquee clients in the digital engineering side that can have considerable potential upside in the coming 1 to 2 quarters. Our commitment to revenue and EBITDA goals remain the same despite the challenges business throws at us. We are particularly excited about the significant progress we are making in the We are building in the opportunity pipeline for digital engineering services within our existing accounts. Our performance reflects the trust and confidence that the organizations we are servicing place in our capabilities and our expertise in the digital transformation landscape. Looking ahead, while we remain cognizant of the challenges posed by the global economic landscape, we are also optimistic about the growth opportunities that lie ahead. Our continued investments in technology, talent, customer-centric solutions position us well to capitalize on the emerging trends and drive sustainable growth in the coming quarters. In closing, I would like to reaffirm the unwavering commitment to our shareholders in delivering long-term value. We remain focused on executing our strategic initiatives, enhancing shareholder returns, and fostering sustainable growth, guided by our core values of character, commitment, and competence. While we take questions shortly, I will hand over the dais to Mr. Krishnan to give some detailed updates about the financial performance.
Yeah. Thank you, Srikanth. Good evening to all the investors and for all those who have taken time to join the call. And it's been a quarter, though there have been a lot of challenges on the economic front. I think we have consistently tried to wait through, perform, and then try to remain positive and then work out positive. The quarter also has a challenge in terms of decision makings, and especially where we depend on the Western world, and right from Thanksgiving till the Christmas as holidays, where the number of days gets reduced. In spite of all that, I think we have done a very positive growth to a tune of about, on the INR terms, at about 3.6%, on the dollar term, 2.9%, clocking a revenue of $56.2 million as against $54.7 million in dollar terms. While the EBITDA front probably is at about 13.8%, a tad lower comparing to what it was in the previous quarter, but this is on account of certain exceptional expenditure which has gone into legal, which was necessitated to complete the legal portion as against dragging few of the employer-related issues, which we don't expect or anticipate. I think normalizing that, probably our EBITDA has improved and would have been there at about 14.8% or so. And that was necessitated for us to take it up clearly. And as usual, we have deployed and managed the funds effectively post the distribution of the interim dividend, as well as that has generated a good amount of income, which makes our PAT stand at about 10.3% at a full-blown taxation. I think the quarter remains good, but while it's, I would call that standard for every IT sector, and especially for the company, always traditionally Q3 has been a subdued quarter. And comparing to that, I think overall for the 9 months, our EBITDA stands at about 14.2%. While we have anticipated, if you go through, based on the current set of run rate for the quarter, I think we expect to end the year positively year over year comparing to last year in terms of the growth. While it is marginal, but given the situation and the way we have devised our strategies, I think the strategies are working with respect to the nurture and growth accounts moving up in a bigger way. The top 20 accounts continue to contribute a healthy 54% to the contribution to the revenue. We have added about 9 new clients in the quarter, and we have added about 6 clients in the quarter and 9 in the last quarter, and which is also notable. We have started penetrating on the digital engineering services, which is contributing about 10-11% of the total revenue, and our increased thrust remains the same on the digital revenue, and the sectors which are contributing in summary basically is that retail, BFSI, and travel and healthcare continue to contribute about 70% plus of the total volume of business. And out of which healthcare stands out in terms of the highest margin. And our focus on retail is expanding and expected to contribute in a bigger way in the coming quarters. We are optimistic. The dollar rate and both on the top share and onshore has moved up marginally by about half a dollar, and our utilization is at peak both these segments, hovering around an average at about 80%, and we are at a healthy trend in terms of the resource mix utilization at about 21 to 79, 21 being on-site and 79 being at offshore. We have generated a good amount of cash during the quarter, and if you look at the overall 6 months, cash from operations generated has moved out to close to about 120 crores, which is the first two quarters had a subdued growth, and subsequently we have generated a good amount of growth. The receivables are under control, and we still have at about 58 days, and even if I look at some amount of unbilled revenue based on the projects, which are milestone-based, I still land up at about close to 65 days, but I think on a stricter invoiced revenue, we are there at about 58 days, which is good control. And we don't see any, uncertainty on account of bad debts or any kind of write-offs. And so the way things are moving up, I think the order book position looking healthy. And we are in a, we are expected to finish the quarter and move ahead, and we are looking, always looking ahead for the next year. Next year looks, we are highly positive, though we are cautiously watching the global economy, but I think we are extremely positive on the future growth for the coming years. With these few words, I'll open up forum and request my colleague and the CRO, Vinay Rawat, to say a few words on the business and outlook.
Thanks, Krishnan. I think I'll just reiterate some of the facts which Srikanth and Krishnan mentioned about in terms of the customer. Customers are being very cautious. The overall underlying drivers for the customers are still cost optimization and consolidation. Discretionary spend, which actually was very significant during pandemic time, actually continues to shrink. Customers are still very cautious about bringing back that discretionary spend, and that that shows up in the elongated sales cycle, which actually we have been facing in some of our customer places. Our new logo growth actually has been pretty healthy. The size and quality of the revenue is something which actually has improved very significantly. Our focused account, account classification, go-to-market strategy, which we implemented, actually has been showing very healthy growth. As Krishnan mentioned, our top 20 account actually continues to grow year over year. Our relationship into those accounts actually continues to grow, and our overall relationship metrics has been increasing, and we are becoming more and more strategic to those customers. Our service line spend into these customers actually has been increasing. That means we are getting more and more traction into digital services, and therefore expanding our footprint and getting more wallet share from the same customers. Our top 74 accounts were predominantly the sales focuses. They their expansion of revenue actually has gone to almost 90%, which is, as I mentioned earlier, actually is testament to our account focused approach. Overall, what we see right now, what we actually observed at the end of third quarter, were customers being a little more cautious because of not a very certain environment, particularly, you know, from an interest rate perspective. The cost of capital obviously continues to be expensive, and therefore customers are still not opening up the purse. So there, as Krishnan mentioned, I'll reiterate that we continue to be optimistic. Despite all the headwinds, we have actually delivered sequential growth, and we think we will continue to be growing significantly in the coming quarters. With that, I will hand it over to my colleague Raghu, who is our Chief Delivery Officer.
Hey, thanks, Vinay. I think you heard about the business outlook. From a delivery standpoint, we continue to balance and tightly run the operations to ensure that we continuously improve our margins. Our customer satisfaction score for the quarter has been again a record high, about 3.84 out of 4, with about 80% coverage from our clients. We are continuing to see increased digital engineering services appetite, specifically in the areas of SRE, DevOps, and data. So this quarter, we also focused on increasing more capability and capacity, both at the leadership level and the workforce level, to ensure that we are able to ramp up teams as and when required. Our focus on continuing to deliver value-based services through our IP continues. We have been out of the six logos that Srikant and Krishnan were mentioning. At least three out of those six logos, we have been able to show our IP story as a differentiator. So that focus continues, and then we are very hopeful that as we get into FY25, we will be able to further ramp up on the digital engineering services business. Thank you.
Thanks, Raghu. Thanks, Vinay. I request Sairam, our Chief Marketing Officer, to give us a perspective from the marketing side. Yeah. Sai, over to you.
Yeah. Thank you. I hope I'm audible. In line with the commentary of all our executives, in fact, on an interesting note, the Q3 quarter is where all the global analysts actually give up the most updated positionings, and I'm very delighted to let know our renewed focus on strengthening our digital engineering positioning got a significant flip in the quarter that went by. We've got about 22 recognitions of them, 16 on the digital engineering side, and most importantly, so IDC has positioned us for the first time as a major player in the worldwide software digital engineering services landscape, which is a very, very big jump for Signity's march ahead. Along with that, we have been provided a very special recognition as an emerging company in the digital engineering operation and technology services landscape by IDC. Seven of our case studies in the world of analytics, data, AI have been featured along with 16 tier one digital engineering companies. We've also been specifically positioned as a major contender in the data and analytics segment, which goes to show the strength of the data engineering practice that we have been building in the mid-market segment by Everest. On the digital assurance side, I'm delighted to let know, for the first time, we've been positioned by Everest as a leader with star performer rating in the specialized QE services providers, which is a new report that Everest launched, and also as a major contender with star performer rating in the next generation quality engineering, which is nothing but digital assurance. So that said, we've also got some very specific vertical recognitions in the area of lending and IT services assurance. ISG has positioned us as a leader in continuous testing. And Forrester, after a long time, came up with a new continuous testing automation landscape report that Signity was specifically called out. Last but not the least, we have been positioned as a disruptor by HFS in the world's first generative enterprise services provider report, which again goes to show the deep reflections of AI-led digital engineering, generative AI, computer vision, machine learning areas that we are investing to work. And Forrester put us as a specialized provider in application modernization and migration services landscape, which is a reflection of the enterprise application services, enterprise modernization practice that we are building. And we are also coined out in the Zinno ER&D zones for specific Internet of Medical Things, Internet of Things work. So that's from an analyst positioning. To summarize, it goes back to the strong foundation that we have laid to march in the digital engineering landscape with a very substantial leadership in digital assurance. Our both IPs, as Raghu rightly said, Zathra and Blue Swan, were finalists in the worldwide WAC Sampri Awards. And before I end, I just want to give an important antidote. The Forrester's latest report, which is a month old, also tells that the impact of generative AI will actually yield a substantially incremental 2.5% spend increase in the world of testing, because the entire test lifecycle is expected to be augmented with generative AI's infusion. And a 15.5% CAGR growth is what GenAI-led digital engineering is projected, and Cigniti is playing in both the areas with substantial focus. So that's from a market positioning perspective. I will now give it back to Krishna.
Thanks, Sai, and over to Veera, our global HRA, to talk a bit more on the sourcing and the resource retention and attrition.
Okay. Thank you, Krishnan. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. This year has been fairly good from an HR point of view. Employee satisfaction levels are high and attrition is trending very low. We are currently running below 13% and hopefully the same trend continues through the next 2 months of this quarter. And we are optimistic that we will end the year below 13%. We also going for the renewal of Best Place to Work. We have been rated as Best Place to Work, Great Place to Work for last 2 years, and then third time in a row we are going for it, and then it is coming up for renewal in May. With the current satisfaction levels, I'm sure we will get it for third time. From a training and development point of view, last quarter we have actually successfully completed a training program at one of the engineering colleges in Hyderabad. We have trained 50 plus students on some of the skills that we need, so that it reduces the time of a fresher coming in and then joining into a project. So we are now looking to absorb these students in the upcoming quarter, which helps in our pyramid fresh as well. And we'll continue to focus on this as a investment and then pyramid refresh program as we move forward, and then look for doing it in more than 3 to 4 colleges next year. So those are some of the updates from HR, and then we'll be happy to answer any question. Back to you, Krishna.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I think over to Adfactors, we can open up the question to the moderator. Please open up the forum for question and answers. Yeah.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Swecha from Whitestone Financial Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One was, you know, the 6 logos that we have added. If you could just help us understand, you know, which sector these logos are from, like which industry, and typically what kind of work, have we got from that? Is it more on the digital engineering side, or, you know, what kind of scope of work these 6 logos, we've done for? Second, also, if you could give some sense on the order book, the current order book, and even on this order book, you know, what percentage would be from digital engineering kind of services? And also, I wanted to understand broadly, you know, what kind of services are we looking for the digital engineering side of our business? Some sense as to, how big can it be, and, you know, what are your thought process, how to build this, and what are we thinking about it?
Okay, so let me, I think there's quite a few questions actually you've asked. So let me first actually talk about the customers of new logos we acquired, in the last quarter. They are not specifically for, from one industry segment. They are spread across multiple segments. However, some of the larger clients which we acquired actually are from BFSI. One of them is actually from BFSI. Another one is actually from rail transportation industry. They are one of the largest rail transportation company in North America. One customer is actually in retail. This is a European customer. So as I said, like, they are sort of distributed across. The kind of work which actually we will be doing with these customers is actually mixed. It is an integrated work where we are, in almost all the cases, we are actually transitioning the work from some of our larger peers in the industry. This is applications, application maintenance, application integration testing, the application support requires development work for any function or feature which is actually required during the application sustenance phase. So that's what it is. So as I said, like, it's kind of a mixed work in development and quality engineering. You asked a question regarding...
In general, digital engineering.
Yeah, you asked a question regarding digital engineering. Now, I will actually divide that question into two parts. One, the work which we do in the quality engineering side also actually happens to be in the digital area. So if you were to actually purely looking from a digital, digital revenue, that digital revenue is almost 60% of our revenue, which we do today. However, specifically on the development side, that revenue stands close to about 10 to 12% of our overall revenue, from a digital engineering perspective. As far as order book is concerned, that continues to be pretty healthy. If we look at where we were last year and year over year, our order book actually, it continues to be improving. Our revenue realization of the order book actually is within the industry range, which we have seen from our peers or even the larger peers in the industry. So that, as I mentioned earlier in my commentary, and Krishnan also mentioned, that continues to remain healthy. I will actually give it to Krishnan for giving specific numbers around order booking. Did I answer all your questions, or is there anything specific I missed out?
Yeah, just to follow up. So when we say digital engineering services on the development side, so you said we are 10 to 12%. And I believe in the commentary, what I heard is we are quite, optimistic about increasing this revenue share from the development side of the digital engineering services. So if you could, help me understand exactly what do we do on the development side of the digital engineering services, what kind of work do we do there and how big this can become for us?
So over the last 12 months, we have doubled our digital engineering services, which I'm purely talking about in the development space. And just to also, again, clarify, digital engineering means different things to different people, but and it's a very large umbrella. So the scope which actually we have defined for ourselves today within digital engineering, that business is something has doubled, and we expect that to continue to grow at a similar pace for next year as well. So we are very hopeful that we will actually double it again in the coming year.
Okay.
Thank you. The order book, coming back to the order book position, basically. So benefit of all the listeners is that we have a confirmed order book position for April to March for the next financial year is at about close to $205 million. To answer your question is that how much could be on the digital engineering? We are at about 11%
on I missed that number, sir. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it is $205 million is the order book billable for the period April to March. And as it stands today, and coming back to the order book in terms of digital engineering, I will put it out this way, is that the increased thrust is on digital, while the current year revenue will end up at about 11-12% of the total revenue, the way at which it is, you have seen the three quarters and the fourth quarter getting repeated out and things like that. But I think we are trying to push that to close to about 18% in the subsequent year with a nominal growth, which we hope to have. We don't give any guidance, but I think we expect a high double-digit growth for the revenue, which should contribute at about close to 18% or so should be on the digital side. So we are fairly piled up on the order book. Yeah.
Okay. So I just have one last follow-up. Can I just ask you?
Yeah, sure. Please go ahead.
Okay. So just on the EBITDA margin side, like you said, EBITDA, so any guidance can you give, because our EBITDA was lower in this quarter. Any ballpark number that you feel?
Actually, as I told you that absolutely we are not putting in any number in terms of the guidance. But what happens is that if you look through last year, we have been at about 14% order.
This year we have sustained that, and we will sustain, because if you look at 9 months, we have been there at about 14.2%, and we'll sustain. Okay. And this quarter specifically, a blip is on account of some settlements on the legal side, which I said will not get repeated out or whatever it is, because we're taking a lot of cautious. Okay.
So if you look through
for the year end or whatever it is, wishful thinking is to increase at least by about 150 basis points to 200 points. But I think we are at least bare minimum, we are confident that we'll be able to increase by about 150 basis points in the coming years. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Appreciate this. Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Aditya Zawar from J&J Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. The first one is related to expenses. I see our expenses are like we have added a good headcount from last year to this year. And but I see the revenue growth is not showing up in the results. So regarding that, I need some clarity on that. And the second part is on the digital engineering business. I know our company core competency is in the testing and digital assurance or quality testing or engineering. But why are we going with the development focus? Do we have the right talent and skill set in that area to explore? And that is my second question. Yeah.
Okay. I'll ask the second question to get answered by my chief delivery officer on that. Point number one basically is that while the addition of manpower has come through in the current year at a cost, as you rightly said, we should look at that 12% of the business. We have given an increased threat and created a bench for the purpose of digital engineering purposes, which comes at a differential cost. These are investments in the business which necessitates basically cutting down a little bit on the margin side to absorb, and we don't carry out of any expenditure as a capital asset. So invariably we'll have to invest, take it, and then we have also invested a little bit on the R&D side, which was necessitated to get through in terms of if you have observed the company's website or whatever it is that we have come out with certain IPs, and then which are successful, and then we have started even selling on those licenses. So this was necessitated, and it's a cycle in the business which you'll have to do it, and especially when the transitioning and transformation happens. So that we can't, while the business is linear, I won't be able to bill everyone back into the business in terms of availability. And we will have to invest, think ahead, invest, and start moving ahead, basically, and start realizing at a point of time very clearly. So this year has been a year of transformation in terms of the digital, which necessitated for me to spend on the offering side, center of excellence, creating a bench pool so that the customer gets confidence, internal sales gets confidence, internal delivery gets confidence that, yes, the resources are available for deployment and taking over so that it becomes a big bang theory. That is on question one. Question two, with respect to the development and offerings, I request Raghu to answer that, actually.
Thanks, Krishan. I think while we were always, as you rightly said, initially we were a testing quality engineering, quality assurance, or digital assurance company. You would appreciate that finally we were responsible for quality of development of the product, right? And quality of their release, quality of their deployment, quality of how their production worked, anything and everything related to quality. That is point number one. Second, we as a company have always adopted technology as a means to drive testing as well. It is not just functional testing with manual eyeballing, right? A lot of tools, a lot of technologies, a lot of people with development background, and our core offering has also been around test automation since quite some time. And test automation is about writing code to test code. Therefore, as a company, we also realized, and this was just before pandemic, and that's where we started pivoting towards digital engineering services as well, is that if you want to continue to influence quality across the software development lifecycle, and with the advent of Agile, with the advent of DevOps, as more and more testing and dev getting integrated and congruently working in the context of SDLC, it becomes important for us to influence quality across the lifecycle. And it's no more just that you know only testing techniques or testing technology to drive quality. that you have to be able to influence across the software development life cycle with quality at the core. Because we had that expertise at the back end, we had the skill set of driving code with code in terms of quality testing and ability to have a seat in the digital table to make that quality pivot for the enterprise in the context of the overall HDLC, we started expanding our service offerings into a larger realm of digital. And we didn't do this only unanimously. When we discussed this with our clients, we piloted some of our offerings with our clients, our capability to go above and beyond, to be able to handle digital applications and drive quality, we were very much welcomed. It is a logical extension to move from just testing to influencing quality across the HDLC by also contributing into digital engineering, therefore helping digital transformational goals to be achieved by the enterprises.
Okay. But how much of our headcount is into development? Because I think the last time it was at 100 par, it is increased, or how is that number?
As of last month, we stand somewhere between 500 to 600. The reason why I say 500 to 600 is because it's a flux anyway across globe. But today our development practice is close to about 500, 600 people.
Okay. And on the expenses part, I understand that we are doing R&D and we are expensing out. That is a great. But I was particularly asking about the employee expenses. What is the current stance in our hiring? Are we having the same space? Because a lot of I see from last year also, we have hired a couple of extensive hiring we have done. So when that will be sweat and come to our growth? That is what I'm trying to understand.
I made it very clear that it's an year of investment, and we are conscious very clearly that we have done only utilization of 70% on the digital engineering side, whatever is done basically to build the resource pool for purpose of deployment, which is getting now converted. We are cautiously optimistic in terms of trying to get the money value of all the investments which we are trying to do on the digital side clearly. So if you look at the investments, the entire investments on the resources, we are now trying to recorrect the entire pyramid structure both on the existing business and also on the digital side, which should see benefits in the coming quarters, especially in the coming years, first two quarters.
So we have, so whatever we have hired, it was mostly towards development role. Is my understanding correct?
It's a combination, basically. Some of the key accounts just come on the retail side or whatever it is, demanded a better skill set in terms of technology, domain knowledge and domain expertise needed very clearly, so which has come as a lateral hire, which even out over the project period, because these are projects which are for a 5-year contract, 3-year contract which is coming through, which will even out over a period of time. And also the advantage when we try to build a domain and get the domain expertise is that the investments is multifold, because subsequent projects we don't need to invest again in the domain expertise. It gets evened out completely and jumpstart becomes comfortable. So it's a part of the business. We'll have to leave with that very clearly.
Okay. Last, I have this question.
If you go through the employee cost for 9 months comparison to 9 months, while I may have incurred 14% on the employee cost, I have come down on the contractor cost by about 7% overall. So the net part of it, if you look at it basically, is that which is in parlance with the necessity for the business, which with all these investments coming through, I've been trying to do the optimization best possible within the short time. Please go ahead.
I understand. I understand digital engineering, we are spending a lot of efforts there, but our major part of the revenue comes from digital assurance. And how confident are you in this space for the next year? How do you see the growth in the digital assurance?
I think I will ask my colleague Sairam to talk about the marketing value. Sai, can you just provide the market value of the digital assurance and market value of digital engineering just as a one-liner, so that's the confidence and space at which we are tapping, right?
The overall integrated digital engineering and digital assurance market
right now is about $705 billion and expected to be about $1.3 trillion. That constitutes both digital assurance and digital engineering. And as I said in my commentary, the digital assurance market itself is getting an additional 2.5% growth to about $23.5 billion owing to the impact of generative AI, and the overall assurance market is $43 billion. So if you look at it like a three-point agenda, we have increased our total addressable and serviceable market by about 15 times. And with an integrated portfolio that we are building, and as reflected in our GTM strategy, with the set of accounts that we are going to go and grow our growth, nurture and strategic accounts, we are well placed to tap into this market further and further.
Yeah, thanks, Sai. I think I'm sure, gentlemen, I'm sure that will answer your query, right?
Yeah, I understood the landscape. But as a company, how do you see we performing in that landscape?
Sorry to interrupt, sir. May we request you to rejoin the queue as there are several participants waiting for their
turn. Sure. Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Parth Kotak from Alpha Plus Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I have a couple of questions. One, do we have some leading indicator, the growth that supposedly was posted, our expectation would be much higher in terms of the growth that we are posting. So internally, do we have some leading indicators, especially you mentioned core revenue comes from the Western world. So if that could get us some guidance on, you know, companies probably pushing on the order side.
Yes, so in IT services, generally the leading factor is order book. And I did mention earlier that our order book actually continues to be healthy. In terms of our revenue realization from order book actually also continues to be in line with the industry. So if we look at our, Krishnan actually gave this number earlier, and if you look at the multi-year order book and the order book which actually we have currently booked, in last 9 months, that certainly actually continues to demonstrate that we will grow in double digits in next financial year. So that's all I can tell you right now. Krishnan mentioned, we don't give any specific guidance, but order book definitely continues to be healthy.
That is certainly helpful, sir. Sir, in terms of the recent client acquisitions that we've made, 6 in the last quarter, 9 in the previous one, are these clients expected to be large billing clients from next year itself, where we could probably see one or two of those clients creeping into our top 10 client list or top 15 client list?
Absolutely, yes. One of the largest client which we acquired in last 3 quarters is top 3 railroad transportation company in North America. Their spend is minimum 3-digit million dollars, like hundreds of millions of dollars, which they could spend on the technology space. We've actually signed up a sizable deal with them. As we speak, we are transitioning work from some of the larger peers, which actually happens to be an integrated application development support and quality engineering. The other client actually, which I was referring to, which is a BFSI client, is a bank with about $80 billion of assets under management. They offer, again, they are a client actually which spend a fairly sizable amount on in the technology space. So, the retailer which actually I was talking about, that retailer is one of the largest retailer in Eastern European market. As of now, we are absolutely optimistic that some of these clients actually will definitely become our top 10, top 20 customers in the coming financial year.
That is very encouraging, sir. Sir, finally, if I could squeeze in one last question, we've been talking about inorganic growth which will help us achieve the long-term target that we've envisioned. Do we have anything on the table while we understand that getting something EPS accretive and the field that we are looking in could be certainly challenging in this environment. But while the growth is a little tepid, if we may say so, do we have certain opportunities on the table as of today?
I think, are you referring to organic growth?
Inorganic growth.
Inorganic growth.
So inorganic growth, I think we are very aggressive. Active proposals are being considered, but I think as we get to the stage, invariably, I think we'll get it through by the board and then we'll disseminate the information systematically. But I think I can say that we are very aggressively on the lookout.
Super. That's it from my side. Thanks for taking all my questions, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Dinesh Mistry from Investor First Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good evening, and thank you very much for taking my question. I actually had just two questions. One is that, obviously you've talked about how you've gotten resources and employees. So you could just run us through, what's happening on the utilization front, especially on the on-site side. That's number one. Number two is, your other expenses have gone up meaningfully, both YOY on quarter on quarter. So some sense on what these other expenses are, especially if there are any one-offs. And related to that, you've mentioned certain cost control measures. So how are these linked to this other expenses line item would be helpful to understand. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. My utilization at on-site is at about 93% or so. It always remains at about 93 to 95, subject to a quarter or two variation by about 1%. My offshore utilization remains at about healthy at about 82%.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that I've reached the optimal level at this point of time.
Mm-hmm.
While this 82% will have a marginal impact as we start pushing up, because today digital is minuscule. Digital operates at about 70-72%, and then probably I'll be able to push it to 75% on the digital side, which is essential to have the resourcing on the jump start. So I would say the utilization is on the optimal effect with respect to where we are today. With respect to the expenditure, if you look at especially on the other expenditure side, which is you have asked about the increase which has happened invariably, is that one off line item could be on the legal side, which we had to do certain employee settlements, especially in the quarter. And that is specifically on the line item. But we have gone ahead and we have spent certain marketing dollars on certain events, especially like CIO events and other events invariably. We have utilized the opportunity and created a visibility, especially when we launched on the digital side, mm-hmm. which is essential. And added a couple of sales folks, which was necessitated for us, especially creating and carving a niche out the specific segment of vertical very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Which the benefit of it, everything will come through basically even out over the next couple of quarters as we start seeing the generation of the revenue. So apart from these two, in terms of the expenditure on the other side, and there has been some amount of OPEX expenditure which was necessitated on the IT side for certain upgradation of the networking and other security tools, which was based on the worldwide cyber attack happening. We had to necessarily spend and take a precaution on the cyber attack areas. So I think these are one of things which definitely necessitated for enhancement in the expenditure.
Got it. But if you could give a sense around this.
We are carefully monitoring each and every line item.
Mm-hmm.
To ensure that either optimization or reduction or to get the best value out of it.
Got it, sir. So, sir, out of this roughly 50 crores, I'm not asking for a breakdown, but out of this 50 crores, how much would be attributable to the three heads that you kind of talked about, roughly?
I would probably take it offline and send you the details very clearly on that, because I will not just remember on the face of it.
Sure.
I know for sure that if you look at for the quarter, at least my EBITDA would have moved up by about 1.25% to 1.3% from the current level, which speaks very clearly as to the volume, as to what it is on the legal front. But I think if I have to assimilate for the 9 months, probably I can take the question offline and send it across to you.
Sure, sir. That would be great. Thank you very much, sir. And wish you the very best of luck. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Faisal Zubair from H.G. Hawak and Company. Please go ahead.
What are the kind of customers that we are having, and can you give a flavor of, which industries are which industry contribute as to what percentage of our total revenues? That's one. And second is, sir, if you could just guide us about, the evolution of this company and also the management structure, as to who really looks after what the functions, and if you could guide us with the KRAs of the key personnel like CEO, CMO, and COO also.
So our top three industry segments are retail, BFSI, and HCLS, healthcare and life sciences. These are our top three industry segments with approximately about 22% coming from retail and e-commerce, approximately almost equivalent or maybe 21.5% coming from BFSI, and about 17-18% coming from travel, transport, hospitality, and about 12-13% coming from HCLS. So those are our four top industry segments. I said HCLS is number three. Actually, HCLS is number four. Travel transport is number three for us. So, in terms of percentage, that's the industry segment. What was your question regarding the customers?
No, he's asking
for
the KPIs for the
KMB test.
What Veera can look at it.
Okay, Veera, do you want to answer that question?
Sorry, this question, can you repeat that, please?
So my question is, what is our management structure, and what are the KRAs for the key personnel like CEO, COO, CMO, and CEO?
Okay, so KRAs pretty much directly tagged to the financial goals that we have. We have revenue.
How much of the KRAs are tagged to revenue?
What percentage? So it is at a CRO and CDO level, it is 30% of the KRA is tagged to the revenue.
Yeah. See, gentlemen, we are a company, we are a listed company, and we are governed by the board independent, and we are governed by the budgets, which are necessary as per the internal controls and measures. And the KRAs and KPIs are tagged to these budgets and individual performance parameters, which are monitored by the compensation committee. And it is applicable from level 1 to the level 7 officers, clearly. I think just to understand, in this call, probably I'll be able to provide this much. Probably anything beyond that, if you have any specific queries with respect to what it is, what is possible for disclosure, we will do it. I appreciate if you can write to us separately. Thank you.
Yeah, if you could just mention it in the next annual report.
Whatever is statutorily required is running through in the annual report. What has been missed out, we will definitely look at it, but to our knowledge, basically, we have not missed out. What is essential and to be furnished as per the Companies Act necessary, we are furnishing, and we shall be more than happy to furnish whatever is needed. Yeah.
Okay, sir. I appreciate your answer. My question so well, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Mr. Subhash from Value Investments. Please go ahead.
I had two questions. First, on the new deal wins, I think you have answered that. My second question is on the shareholding pattern. So the promoter holding
has
been...
Your voice is not clear. Your voice is not clear. Can you be a bit audible? Louder, please.
Okay. Are you able to hear me now?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay. So I had two questions. So the first one was on the new deal wins. I think you have already answered that. So my second question is on the shareholding pattern. So the promoter shareholding has been decreasing from last 4 years, if you see. And from the last few quarters, it has been decreasing continuously. So if you could give some light on that, that would be helpful.
Yeah, I would, I mean, I Okay, so it is, you should understand that the business is being run over the last 25 years by the promoters. And the decrease could be on account of various reasons. One is on account of a natural dilution in the initial years, basically on account of provincial issues, but subsequently if you look through basically on ESOMs. And the third point now is that they would have to retire with certain of their personal debts, considering their own set of segments in terms of where they are operating. They would like to be a debt-free invariably. So for that purposes, the retirements have taken place. But if you look at it, in between, they've also acquired. But having said that, but I think it's an individual choice for a company, and especially on the technology stack, basically. I think we're more concerned in terms of the going concern, continuity, and movement very clearly. While the promoters portion, what we talked about, is trying to come down, we also have to look at and give weightage to the institution mutual funds where the holding has moved up by about 7-8%, 10% close to, including, if you look at the PMS, we are there at about 10%, which has shifted their hands into a healthier hands, clearly. But beyond this, I don't think I'll be able to answer very clearly as to what is their reasoning, basically, because it is all their personal reason. But if you look at it, they have not really moved ahead to reduce drastically as to what it is. And if you look at, there is a set of promoters who are holding about 9%, has reclassified themselves as a non-promoter. So if you consider that, still that portion of the stock which we enjoy a good relationship remains as a part of promoter, known entity of promoter, very clear. It is just that for administrative convenience, he would like to, being NRI, he regrouped himself as a non-promoter. So that has to be grossed up when you compare basically as to what it was. So I would say that reducing by about 5-6% over a period of 15-20 years, it's understandable.
Okay, yeah, the reduction has been like over 8% from last 4 years, but you've answered my question. So I'll look over the details on the non-promoter side also, as you mentioned. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Majid Ahmed from SmartSync Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yeah, very much. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, why has the pace of new clients have reduced? I think it was at 9 and now it is 6. Do you see that decreasing or it will get steady and it can move going forward?
No. I will ask my colleague Vinay to answer. Your question is that why new addition of clients has reduced? You are just comparing to last quarter to this quarter. But I think I will request my colleague to answer that.
So some of this is actually, intentional. Just to actually tell you that we've been focusing more on the quality of the customers which we acquire. The intent is obviously whatever customer we acquire, those customers actually should have enough spend, which actually can, continue to be an important and strategic, and they actually offer potential to become important and strategic, customers to us. Just to give you a number perspective, our average client size, which actually we acquired last year or prior to that year, that number actually has almost quadrupled. Though the number of clients actually have come down, but the average size of the customer which actually we have acquired has quadrupled. So the quantity is reduced, but the quality has improved substantially. And that's actually been the focus. That's by design, not by accident.
Okay, sir. Sir, then is there any plans in terms of the industry? Are you planning to move to automotive or EV space? Any plans do you have in providing your services?
Given our size, we have not specifically focused or created domain competency to go after a specific industry segment. Our play is more horizontal, more technology play, and that's what we continue to do. We do believe that, I think, in the coming quarters or a year or so, we actually should have a threshold of revenue, which actually will certainly warrant for domain competency improvement, and at that point of time, we will focus on industry segments. As far as automotive industry is concerned, That industry is not our focus area as of today. Our top four industry segments, as I outlined earlier, continue to be BFSI, retail, travel and hospitality, and HCLS.
The last and final question that I have is there any plan to give dividends to the shareholders, or buybacks happening?
I think we have done in the last quarter only, post 6 months, we have announced interim dividend. We'll have to allow for the company to complete the March accounts and the directors to take a call on the final dividend. And anything on the buyback which comes through, I think the directors will review and then come back to the exchange through exchanges on a uniform basis. But I think we have been doing what is best to the shareholders, that in the sense that the board has been considering and doing it. So allow us the right time, basically, to we'll come back.
Okay, so thank you.
Thank you, sir. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. We have our next question from the line of Mr. Chintan, a shareholder. Please go ahead.
I have a question regarding the single promoted cell.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Chintan. Can you please be loud?
Sure. So I have the same question regarding the promoter.
Mr. Chintan, we can't hear you. There is a disturbance at your end.
Now it's here.
No, it's not audible at all.
We are unable to hear you, Mr. Chintan.
I will get back in the queue.
A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions. A reminder to all participants, you may press star and one to ask questions.
Any other questions in the queue?
We have our next question from the line of Aditya Zawar from J&J Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just a follow back. Thanks again for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to particularly understand how our digital assurance, the runway of growth for next couple of years. Can you throw some light here on our order book and our positioning with the new digital, like DevOps automation, a lot of things we have added, right? So on that, how do you see this digital assurance side scaling up?
Yeah. I'll just give you in a summary, basically, that we have drawn up a plan to reach in the next 5 years to a $1 billion business, where we expect at least 55% of the revenue coming from the digital side. I think that is the confidence level at which where we are moving, where we are last year at about 6%, this year at about 12%. And it's a whole, it's a vast field. My colleague Sairam has already indicated in terms of the landscape which is available, where we are trying to get there. And if you look at, if you ask me today what I'm going to achieve over a period of year over year in terms of the order book, I won't be able to comment on that. But I think the confidence at which in the next year with a high double-digit growth on the total revenue which is expected, and where I'm trying to garner about 18% of that from the digital, stems from the fact that there is enough order book position available with me. That is one of the reasons it has been commented. But I think, having said that, 24-25 being 18%, in 4 years' time from there, or 3.5 years' time, or 3 years' time, getting to about 50-55% of the total revenue coming from the digital area is an optimistic approach, because of the efforts what we are making, the investments what we are making, and the market landscape which is growing, and the analyst support which come out and corroborate our views very clearly. This is what, at this stage, I'll be able to comment.
Yeah, but when you say digital, there are two parts, right? One is digital assurance and one is digital engineering. In the digital engineering, you said that currently we are at 12%. Now that will move to 18%. That is the development part you are talking about. So you are saying that in the next 4 to 5 years, your development would be 55% of your total revenue. Is that what you are saying?
Absolutely, yes. So digital engineering, when we talk about development, will be about, when I talk about on a $1 billion journey, 55% will come through. That's obviously.
So development will be 55%, rest will be of assurance. So my particular question was about digital assurance. And
So I think my colleague Raghu actually talked about this, and I just want to kind of reiterate on the point that while development, like whatever we do on the quality engineering side, actually also involves the development. He very clearly articulated that it is not functional, which does not require any development skill. Test automation also requires development skill. Ultimately, even on the quality engineering side, we are actually testing the code which has been developed by developers, and that that requires a significant amount of development skill. So our overall digital business, as I was mentioning earlier, stands to be almost like 60-65% even today, which means like whatever our customers are doing, particularly with regards to the digital transformation, we are involved with those clients in some shape and form. What you're referring to digital engineering is actually things like data analytics, things like cloud transformation, things like DevOps, things like SaaS applications. Those are part of our offerings even today, and that business continues to grow for us. And as Krishnan mentioned, our intent is to actually grow that business to almost 50-55% of our revenue. Hopefully, that answers your question.
Yes. And you have two.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Due to time constraint, that was the last question for today, and I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srikant Chakilam for closing comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
I thank everyone for joining this call and participating in the discussion of the performance of the company. Your questions are quite valuable, and it gives us an opportunity to reflect on the direction of the company, and we take them as inputs. Thanks again.
Any questions you can write.
Yeah, and if you have any questions that we were not able to answer in this call, please feel free to reach out to our company. We will answer them to the best of our ability and get back to you. But thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you all in the next earnings call. Thank you.
On behalf of Signity Technologies Limited, that concludes this conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.